The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, a long time ago. He saw an animal that liked to growl, big furry paws, and he liked to howl. Great big furry back and furry hair. I think I'll call it a bear. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, a long time ago. He saw an animal up on the hill, chewing up so much grass until she was filled. He saw milk coming out, but he didn't know how. He said, I think I'll call it a cow. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. To all the animals in the beginning, a long time ago. He saw an animal that liked to snort, horns on his head and they weren't too short, and it looked like there was nothing that he couldn't pull. He said, I think I'll call it a bull. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, a long time ago. He saw an animal leaving a muddy trail, a real dirty face and a curly tail. He wasn't too small, he wasn't too big. He said, I think I'll call it a pig. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, a long time ago. Next animal that he did meet had wool on his back and hooves on his feet, eating grass on a mountainside so steep. He said, I'm gonna call that one a sheep. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. To all the animals in the beginning, a long time ago. Saw an animal as smooth as glass, slithering his way through the grass. He saw him disappear by a tree near a lake.
Good morning, and welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania, but this morning we're as close to you as your own home, so welcome to everyone on Zoom, and welcome to everyone in the sanctuary. I'm Linda Weaver, Vice President at Thomas Paine, and I want to personally welcome all of you this morning. You are in for a very special treat. If this is your first time here, this is a unique service. I know that there are other churches who do pet blessings, but this is our annual tradition here at Thomas Paine. Wherever you are on your life's journey, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, whomever you love, whatever your gender identity or expression, we welcome you into our ever-expanding circle of compassion and caring. Welcome to our intergenerational annual pet blessing service. We take time once a year to give thanks and bless our companions in life, cats, dogs, birds, chickens, turtles, fish, and so much more. This service also acknowledges that our lives are made fuller and richer by the creatures that inhabit the earth. Not just those that live with us, right? So, annual animal blessings really originated out of the Catholic tradition. However, many Unitarian Universalist or UU congregations have adopted this practice and have it made it a uniquely UU type of blessing. Our seventh principle, which I still acknowledge, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, is the underlying motivation for many of our services. I must admit, now, you know, Reverend Weber isn't here today. We have a part-time minister, and he's here half of the time, and then half the time we have lay-led services like today. But so don't anyone tell him, although he may listen to the recording. This is my favorite service here at TPUF, okay? And that's because I love animals, and I certainly enjoy having a pet. She's seated right up here, napping with her daddy. Yes, Mina, that's you. The most obvious benefits of pet ownership are love and companionship, right? Did you know that there are also health benefits to owning a pet? They can increase your opportunities to exercise, right, Preston? Because you walk that dog. You can get outside, you can socialize with all the neighbors. They know Preston, they don't know me. That's okay. Regular walking or playing with pets can decrease your blood pressure, cholesterol, and triglyceride levels. Pets can help manage loneliness and depression by giving us companionship. According to an article from Harvard Medical School, we do best medically and emotionally when we feel securely attached to another. Because we're mammals, and that's the way we've evolved. We feel especially secure with cats and dogs because of the unconditional love they provide. No matter what you do or say, and by the way, I'm not leaving out rabbits because we have Pichu in our service today as well, who is a, let's see, free range house bunny. Is that the correct terminology? Okay. All right. No matter what you do or say, right? Your dog or cat accepts you and is attached to you. Taking care of a pet can provide a sense of purpose and a feeling of validation when you wake up or come home, and there's always someone who's happy to see you. The emotional benefits of having a pet can translate into physiological ones as well. When you feel securely attached to this living being, there are biological brain effects that reduce stress response so that it may affect your breathing rate or your blood pressure or your oxygen consumption or your anxiety level. There was even a recent study in the journal Science about how oxytocin is boosted in both the dog and the human being when the dog stares into the eyes of the human being. That's really fascinating. Oxytocin is one of the body's feel-good chemicals and also plays a role in social bonding. So, without further ado, I'm gonna say one last thing. The stars of today's service are the pets that we've brought here today. So like every star-studded event, we have swag bags up front. They're goodies for our stars that are here today. So no further ado, let's party. Ryan, would you like to come up and do the chalice lading?
Of course.
Do you want me to do this part and not you do that part, or you want to do both?
Whatever you want.
Okay. Well, our chalice lighting today is by Reverend Florence Kaplow. She's a writer, editor, and ordained Soto Zen priest, and the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Urbana-Champaign in Urbana, Illinois. And Ryan, go for it.
All animals are our relatives. We light this chalice in honor of the animal realm, furred and hoofed, two-legged, four-legged, many-legged, fanged and clawed, gentle and fierce, wild and tame. May we remember that all animals are our relatives, is worthy of our care and respect. Then Corinne will continue with the peace lamp words, lighting the peace lamp.
Hang on 1 second, there.
In a minute.
I'm having a little trouble with that. It was the adult that was having the issue. Okay, Corinne, do you want to say the peace lighting words?
May peace be with us.
May peace be with us.
And with all the people of the world. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ryan and Corinne. So, first we're going to start off with our gathering song. Our gathering song today is hymn 2003, All Creatures of the Earth and Sky. I'll give you a little inside baseball here. I generally am not a fan of hymns. I don't know why, but hey, John, can you hold off a minute here? Hang on a minute. But I will tell you, this is one of my favorite hymns. Sometimes I think the hymns are a little bit too slow and I like peppy music, as you'll be able to see later on, but this is, I love it. The words of this song are attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. He's the patron saint of the environment and animals, because he loved all creatures. Now, the interesting thing about St. Francis was that he was also among his country's most rich and powerful people. He was born into a 1% family, the son of a prosperous silk merchant. But on a pilgrimage to Rome, he joined the poor in begging at St. Peter's Basilica and went on to live a life of poverty as a friar. He was also an outspoken and controversial social activist. And so with no further ado, John, take it away.
All creatures of the earth and sky, come kindred, lift your voices high.
Light burning sun.
It is on, right? Okay. So Ryan and Corinne, will you come up and help me with this, please? So Ryan and Corinne's mom is Manny McNeil, and she's also works at the library in Lower Providence. Yep. And she gave me three really great book recommendations for today. So the one we picked is called The Perfect Pet by Margie Palatini. And not, this is a little bit of a spoiler alert. This child wanted a pet.
Corinne's chair is going to fall off the edge there.
Yeah. Oh, we do not want Corinne falling anywhere. Thank you. See, everybody looks out for you. So Elizabeth really wants a pet. So that's, I'm giving you a little basis for the story. Elizabeth really, really, really wanted a pet. Her parents really, really, really did not. They gave her a plant instead. Mind you, it was a very good-looking plant, as cactus plants go, and it had quite a prickly sense of humor. Elizabeth named it Caroline, which seemed to suit it just fine. It was absolutely no trouble, and it was a very good listener. Snuggling was a bit of a challenge, however. Elizabeth did manage a quick hug now and then. Elizabeth really, really did like the plant, but she still really, really, really wanted a pet, and she had a plan. The element of surprise. So, how about a horse? Huh? What? Who? Said father. Who? What? Huh? Said mother. As you can see, she's shining the flashlight in their face as they're sleeping. I could ride it, give it carrots, lumps of sugar. A horse would be the perfect pet. What do you say? Father yawned. A horse is too big. Mother sighed. Our yard is too small. Why, it would eat us out of house and home, said father. A horse is not quite perfect, dear, said mother, going back to sleep. Not quite perfect, said father sleepily. Scratch the horse. Now, catch them off guard. What about a dog? Okay, they're in the shower, and so that's where she comes up with her next plan. What about a dog? Huh? What? Who? Said father as he stood in front of the mirror shaving. Who? What? Huh? Said mother, peeking from behind the shower curtain and dripping soapy water. I could take it for walks, teach it tricks, feed it treats, play fetch. A dog would be the perfect pet. What do you think? Father spit shaving cream. Dogs bark. They're much too loud. Mother grabbed a towel. They jump all over the furniture. A dog is not quite perfect, Elizabeth, said father as he shaved. Not quite perfect, called mother from the shower. Forget Fido.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. That's sad. So now here's the next plan of attack, the full stomach. Would either of you like to make that sound for me?
No.
How about you, Corinne? Okay. The sound is burp, okay? You know what would hit the spot right now? Asked Elizabeth. I'm thinking a cat. Huh? What? Who? Said father. Who? What? Huh? Said mother. A cat could lick the plates, curl up in my lap, drink leftover milk, and we'd always know what to do with all that extra string. A cat would be the perfect pet. So, how about it? Father picked up the newspaper. Cats scratch. Mother cleared the table. Cats shed all over. A cat is definitely not the perfect pet, said father. Achoo! I'm sneezing already, said mother. Cross off kitty. Now she's gonna go for broke. How about a bird? Bunny, turtle, fish, guinea pig, rat, any, all. Take your pick, said Elizabeth. Her parents looked at each other. Nope, afraid not, not quite, too fishy, uh-uh, don't even go there. What's left, moaned Elizabeth. Doug, enter Doug. Elizabeth was thinking she would never, ever find the really, really, really perfect pet when, what do you know, she really, really did. In fact, she almost stepped on it. Right there on her rug, a bug. Elizabeth picked it up. She held him in her hand, looked him in the eyes. He wasn't too big. He was most definitely was not too loud. He couldn't jump on the furniture, didn't scratch, didn't shed. And how much food could he possibly eat? He was the perfect pet. Caroline totally agreed. Snug. Get it? Snug as a bug in a rug? Doug moved right into the lovely house in the corner of Elizabeth's room. It had everything a bug could possibly want and more, including his very own cactus plant, as Caroline was only a hop, skip, and jump away. He truly enjoyed sunning himself in her sand. Of course, Elizabeth provided him with enough crumbs to satisfy any growing bug's appetite. As expected, their relationship was a tad different than the usual. Doug could not give Elizabeth a pony ride. She could not take him for a walk. He could not fetch a ball. He could not catch a ball or fetch, no matter how many times they practiced. And try as he might, Doug just couldn't get the hang of playing with string. But he was very helpful with homework. He always knew where to put a decimal point or a period. And he loved snuggling up with Elizabeth each night for a story. What more could you ask? He was perfect. Now we're unsnugged. With all those crumbs and plenty of sun, Doug grew by leaps and bounds. He was one big, healthy bug, and then some. The only trouble really, really, really came on one Saturday morning many weeks later. Elizabeth's mother came into her bedroom to get the laundry and, "There's a bug in that bed!" she screamed. "A bug!" shouted Father, ready to swat. "That's Doug," said Elizabeth very protectively. "He's my pet." Her parents looked at each other. "Pet? Pet," said Elizabeth, "just like you wanted. He's not big like a horse. He isn't loud like a dog. He doesn't jump on furniture, scratch, or shed. And he hardly eats a thing." "But a bug?" asked Father. "A bug?" repeated Mother. "Doug," said Elizabeth. "And he's perfect." So finally, we have one big happy family. "Think we should have said yes to the dog?" whispered Father to Mother. Mother shrugged. "I don't know. We have more room on the couch with the bug." Elizabeth smiled and tossed Doug a piece of popcorn. The end. So she found her perfect pet. And I think this story was really perfect for here at TPUF because we're a very accepting congregation, and we accept what other people might think is unconventional. We accept it for whatever it is. So there we go with the perfect pet. Thank you very much. And now on with our program.
Hi.
Thanks, guys. So now we're at the special part of our service where we feature our guest speakers. And Brian has been attending our fellowship regularly lately, and we're welcoming Dominic, his partner, here today. Let me just give you a little background, and I'll let them let you watch a video of what they do. So Dominic Scudero rescues and trains, did I pronounce that right?
That's right.
Okay. Rescues and trains two-legged dogs as therapy pets. See how these inspiring pups help aid patients' recovery. This video was professionally made by AARP, an organization that Preston and I are familiar with. And yeah. And so I think it's very well done. And here's a quote from Dominic. "Because my dogs have experienced challenges themselves, patients see a visible symbol of overcoming difficulty." And so, John, would you share the video with us, please?
A therapy dog helps people to feel some kind of support or hope during a difficult time. Because my dogs have experienced challenges themselves, patients see a visible symbol of overcoming difficulty. I think the dogs are definitely helping people heal. Cyrus was born without front legs, so he's never known life in any other way. Deuce was found in very bad shape. His left front and back legs were broken and infected. So he had both of his legs amputated, and within weeks he was running around. Nothing stops him at all. There's another dog, Lucky. He very recently passed away. Lucky had front legs, no back legs. He was just a very bright, positive presence. This all started with a three-legged dog named Festus. I saw a post online and I instantly knew he belonged to me. That's my dog. Because he clearly went through some really difficult moments, and here he is, this cute little puppy, I thought he should be a therapy dog. And I had no idea what that meant. I just intuitively felt like this dog could be inspiring to people. After I adopted him, I researched it, we did all the training, and Festus was a very successful therapy dog. He only lived to be about 8 years old, and in his lifetime, probably visited hundreds of people. That made me feel so good, I wanted to be able to continue to do that. The best therapy dogs are ones that just innately have a calm, sweet disposition and that are easily trainable. To train a therapy dog, you need to start with basic commands, sit, stay. Beyond that, you need to have your dog under control in the circumstances of a hospital that might have a lot of busyness and noise. The dogs have to be certified not just by themselves, but with me as their handler. And I enjoy that time to work with them and teach them.
I have a spinal cord injury. It's going to be a long road to recovery, and taking 2-3 minutes to hang out with a dog, it lifts your spirits a little bit. It gives you hope. And this dog doesn't know it doesn't have two legs. The dog just goes through life. It's uplifting, and we can learn by it.
I've seen them help patients in lots and lots of different ways. The most typical way is simply getting people smiling, talking. Somehow, a dog is able to connect on a level that we probably can't understand. I believe it's a win-win-win situation when I bring the dogs into the hospital. It's a win because the patients are getting a little bit of joy for a few moments. It's a win because the dogs enjoy the attention. And then the third win is mine. I love dogs so much. And it is incredibly rewarding for me to share that love that I have with other people in a way that is healing to them. Now, dogs, come on now.
And I boo-hooed like a baby. And I'm better today, but I think one tear did trickle out. What a wonderful, wonderful story. Because I know that if you haven't faced challenges in your life yet, you're going to. And this is just so wonderful that you're helping people when they're facing some of the most difficult challenges. So with no further ado, Dominic.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm Dominic Scudera. I'm Brian's husband, and this is my first time here. But my niece is actually a UU minister in the Boston area, Katie Scudera. Yes. So it's very nice to be here, and especially on this day where you're talking about dogs and pets in general. Obviously, from what you saw, dogs mean an awful lot to me. We brought Deuce here, who was on the video. Cyrus is at home. We couldn't bring them all. But we also brought this dog here, who's our latest adoption. Her name is Popcorn, or Brian has expanded the name to Princess Popcorn Roo. There she is. And she's only 6 months old, so she's not a therapy dog yet. It takes a while, so she probably, I do want to train her to be a therapy dog. Probably in about 6 months we'll start, and hopefully by this time next year she'll be out visiting with me too. I regularly go to Bryn Mawr Rehab Hospital. I have my volunteer shirt on here. I also go to a camp in the summertime for disabled kids, which I really love to do. So I'm able to share the dogs in lots of different ways. We used to go to the Children's Hospital too for many years. So it's something that is a big part of my life, but it's not what I do. I'm actually a professor at Ursinus College. I'm a theater professor. But I do this volunteer work because it's so obviously fulfilling. And I've learned an awful lot. So Linda, you were mentioning earlier that dogs can really help us, or pets in general, in so many positive physical ways. And I can certainly show you, if you came to the hospital with me, that that's very true. When I first started taking the dogs, I used to go to a different hospital, to the chemotherapy unit, and the nurses used to ask me to bring the dog over just so that the patient could get their heart rate down so that they can begin the chemo. So, I mean, it's very clear results immediately. But I think also psychologically, dogs can teach us so much or inspire us in so many different ways. So when I go to the hospital, I hear every single time I go, it's just like me, they'll say. If he can do it, I can do it. So I meet people often that have had their legs amputated and are learning how to walk again. And so seeing a dog that is able to sort of run around without any inhibitions can inspire people, which is really a wonderful thing to be able to share with somebody. What I've learned from the dogs is that dogs live in the present moment, right? So they are very much living right this second in this moment in time. So dogs don't have an awareness of what happened to them in the past. So people will say to me all the time, oh, in fact, Ryan, you said to me, oh, that's sad when they see the dog, right? Because they think, oh, you know, how does the dog get by with just two legs? People say that all the time. But the dog isn't sad at all. The dog doesn't know that he once had four legs. So Deuce had his legs amputated, but he doesn't remember that. He doesn't have any awareness of the past. Dogs also don't know what they don't have. They only know what they do have, right? So he's got two legs, and if there's food over there and he wants the food, he's gonna go over there to get it, right? So there's nothing that's gonna stop him from doing whatever he needs to do. He doesn't have an awareness that there's something wrong or different or tragic in his past, and he certainly isn't looking to his future. Dogs can't comprehend the concept of what's to come, so they are able then to just sort of be present all the time. And I think that's one of the things that, when you're in a hospital, is inspiring, because you are aware when you're in the hospital that something has happened to you. You're aware that you have challenges to come in your future, and all of those things are weighing on you. And when you're with a dog who can't comprehend those things, it allows you to be in the present moment too. So I've learned a lot from bringing the dogs to meet people, things like that, things about just slowing down a little bit. You know, the dogs take a little extra time, and you have to just sort of let yourself be. And those are lessons that I try to teach myself all the time. Brian can tell you I'm not overly successful in, you know, not thinking about the future or worrying about the past or whatever that is. But dogs certainly can help us in that way, and animals in general. I shouldn't just make it specific to dogs. I think that there's something about the fact that they are part of our lives to make us appreciate our lives in the moment that we have them. Unfortunately, they don't live with us for our whole lives. They're sort of with us briefly and then no longer. So Lucky, that you saw in that video, died this past year. Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, we have a whole house full of animals. So if we can. So Popcorn is our latest. There she is. She was born without front legs. She is from Arizona. I flew recently to get her. She's about 6 months old. I don't know if I said that. Who's in charge of the slides here? Can we go to the next one? Ah, we have two cats too, Presto and Marco. And I guess I could tell a good story. So Marco, the orange cat there, a number of years ago, they're indoor cats. We only had Marco and at the time another cat named Polo, Marco and Polo. And Marco ran outside one night, and he never does that. And so it was very dark out and there was a storm coming. So I went outside and he had gone under a car. So I got a stick and I, kind of coaxed him out and I grabbed him up in my arms and I brought him back in the house. And when I walked through the door, I looked in my arms and I was holding a different cat. It wasn't Marco. So in the dark, I had scooped up a stray cat without knowing it. And that cat was Presto. And we named him Brian named him Presto because Presto Changeo, he was a different cat. Yeah, so we learned, we thought maybe he was a cat from the neighborhood, and we discovered that he was a stray in the neighborhood for months, and people had been feeding him all around, and so now he's part of our household too. There they are. There's Cyrus and Deuce. Those are the two that were on the video. Cyrus is from California, Deuce is from Kentucky. And Cyrus recently had one of his eyes removed too. So now he's a one-eyed, two-legged, two-toothed dog. But he's cute as could be. We couldn't take him because it's just too much, to be honest, to take all of them all at once. But they're from all different places. And Lucky, who was on the video, he was from Egypt, actually. So we've adopted these animals from all over the world. Is there a picture? There's an extra one? Is there one more? Is that it? No, that's it. Lucky was on the video. And Lucky is from Egypt, where we have learned that they don't treat animals there in the same way our culture does. They don't have the same need, I guess, to bring their dogs in. And they think of their dogs more as sort of outside wild animals. And so Lucky ended up here in the United States and we adopted him and he became famous in all over the world because he had not only overcome the obstacles that he endured in Egypt, but had become a therapy dog and was helping people here in the United States. So I'm very, very proud of our dogs and I spend a lot of time taking care of them, certainly. And we love our newest one, Popcorn. And I guess that's it. Is there anything? What? Oh yeah, does anyone have any questions about the dogs or therapy dog? Yeah, why? Why do we have two-legged dogs? I don't know. There's really not many households in the world that have as many two-legged dogs as we do. They sort of found us, really, eventually, as I became known as someone that adopts dogs that are two-legged and make them therapy dogs. So people reach out to us, like Popcorn. We're not necessarily looking for two-legged dogs. They sort of find their way to our home. Yes?
Did you have a lot of animals growing up?
I did. I've always had a dog, and multiple dogs. So dogs have been part of my life since I was born. At one time, Brian and I had six dogs. They just keep filtering through my life. I can't imagine life without a dog. I really can't. Yes?
Do you ever use your cats in the same way as you take them in the hospital and so on?
Cats really aren't the best suited to be therapy animals. So it's very rare for a cat to be a therapy cat. So I haven't taken the cats to do something like that. It would take a lot of training, and I think people are more allergic, honestly, to cats than they would be to dogs. So it wouldn't be as easy to take a cat into a hospital setting. You'd have to be much more careful. There's popcorn. So the training for a therapy dog takes some time, and they have to be sort of in control. So she's not. Dog, yep. There she is. She's, you know what? She's a really, really good dog, though. She's going to make a great therapy dog. She's very sweet. She really likes people. She's very easy. The only problem is she's teething right now, and so she bites a lot. But she'll grow out of that. Well, thank you all. It's so nice to be here.
Well, I wanted to thank you, Dominic and Brian, for sharing your story with us. That is really an amazing and incredible and an uplifting story. So it was really a win, 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 because you shared it with us. So thank you so much. And now let's continue on and talk about some of our beloved pets here at TPUF. If we could start that slideshow. Thanks, John. And I'll go through this pretty quickly. We've got quite a few. So these are Lindy and Paul Fisher's grand puppies. So on the left, we have Ralphie and Keith, and on the right, we have Denver and Meredith. The next slide is Harley Enright. He belongs to Megan and Andre Enright. Harley is a sheepdog we rescued in November 2022 from Home at Last. She was given up by a mill after they failed to breed at only 10 months old, after she failed to breed at only 10 months old. For anyone thinking of pet ownership, we highly recommend Home at Last. They are dedicated to matching individuals and families with the right dog. We actually applied for and were denied three other dogs because of their size and energy levels and the ages of our children. It was all for the best, as Harley was meant to be part of our family. And now we have someone who's here with us in person as well, Finley Walker. Finley is a gentle and sensitive companion. He sticks with his human no matter what. Soft and cuddly, Finley is like a warm blanket, both physically and mentally. And I see we're going to get a picture of Finley. Thank you. The next slide is, this is Miss Pichu. She's Pichu Camisa. She's Francesca's family's, and I love this description. She's a free-range house bunny of the Camisa family, by far the least complicated of Francesca's children. Now we see Susan and Larry Hare's grand puppies. This is our grand dog, Fozzie. Foxy. She's a rescue and adjusting to her new, very loving family. And then on the right is our grand puppy, Fozzie, who has lots of energy. Next up, we have Renee Pigeon's cat. Moo is the tuxedo cat, and Luna is the gray cat. I think this is a great picture. I love this picture. And she said they bring such joy and comfort. Moo is 9. She's not always a cuddler, so when she wants to, it's all the more special. She loves drinks from the bathroom sink and her potato chip toys. Luna is 3. She's curious about everything, especially shadows. She loves to cuddle and is my napping buddy. Both of my cats bring comfort and joy to my family in the toughest of times and bring us laughs daily. And next we have Maisie Perry. I thought she was going to be here today. I don't really have anything to say about Maisie other than she's been with us several times. She's so cute. She's Christine and David Perry's dog. And now we have one of the newest additions, Rufus Stauffer. Here's a photo of Rufus. Linda Stauffer started fostering him on February 14th, 2024, Valentine's Day, how prophetic, and intends to adopt him. He's such a loving kitty and so silly. And here we have another celebrity that's with us in person, Quinn and Henry McNeil. That's the pictures there. Quinn is the white and tan dog, or the, and gray dog, and Henry is the darker colored dog, and there's Henry in the back. We learned about Henry's amazing story last year when Mike and Manny McNeil shared this story of adopting greyhounds. So Quinn is turning 14 this year, Henry turned 6, and is finally a house dog. We have Rocky and Apollo Hoffman. These are Sally and Adam Hoffman's cats. The cats are the Hoffman's current pets. They are thankful for the comfort and noise that they bring to the house to help fill the empty nester void. And next up we have Apollo Sangmeister. Apollo was named after the sun god and is 14 years old. And then next to Apollo is Min. Min is 10 years old and was adopted by her, Sheila Sangmeister's youngest, who's currently living and working in Portland, Oregon. And next we have my little piece of work, our little piece of work. Her name is Mina Weaver, but she loves her daddy so much she asks if she could hyphenate her name. So now she's Mina Weaver Lutweiler. She is our office assistant. As you can see on the picture on the left, she's helping daddy. She's always willing to point out when she's not getting enough attention, when we're on our computers too long. So on the left, she's helping daddy. And on the right, she steps up right onto my computer desk to help mommy. Next, we have Captain Elizabeth Swan, AKA Lizzie Rooser. And Nicole is here in the sanctuary with us. So cute. And she also has, there's a picture of the Rooser cats, Captain Jack Sparrow and Calypso cat. They're called Jack and Callie for short. And the next shot is the Rooser puppers, Nigel and Gus. Okay, Susan Westington was with us last year as well. Susan can't be with us today. She's recovering, so I want everyone to keep her in our thoughts. But this is Fifi and Leo Westington. The original plan was to adopt only one, but Fifi and Leo are brother and sister, and Susan didn't have the heart to separate them. And you can see why. And this is Lily Westington and her mother, Susan. Karen McCann's pets are our next slide up. So on the far left, your left, is Harrison Ford McCann getting through a tough day of chores. In the center, Harrison is in the forefront and Sweet Pea Pauline is behind him on their favorite perch. Karen opens this window every day that weather allows. And on the right, this is how they sleep together, always touching. They were adopted at the same time from the SPCA in Perkiomenville, and they were strangers, not related. And the final of our current pets, this is our state senator, Katie Muth, and her husband, Trevor's two dogs, Vinny and Kermit. So Katie and Trevor met when they were both at the University of Arizona in Phoenix. That's where they met. And Vinny and Kermit were rescued from a shelter in Phoenix, Arizona. They both have very different personalities. We've met them both, we know them both, but they have brought immeasurable joy to the lives of Trevor and Katie Muth. And now this section of our program is dedicated to all of our pets who are gone, but certainly not forgotten, because they're living in our hearts. So, this is King Manos. This is Phil Manos' childhood dog. He was his best friend from about 8 until he finished high school. I believe he was the only living thing that ever loved me unconditionally. I've never tried to replace him.
We love
him. Now we have Daisy Duke and Roscoe Hoffman. And again, these are Sally Hoffman and Adam Hoffman's pets that are no longer with us. Next, we have Mira Webster. In loving memory of Mira, age 14 years, I know she's chasing lots of spherical orbs, objects, because you can't say ball, over that rainbow bridge. She was the goodest girl, and she's missed. Kathy and Rich Webster. Next, we have Norway, and this is Dorothy Tarka's pet. Dorothy, as you know, lived in this area, moved to Philadelphia, but still comes to services here. And next, we are remembering Sugar Magnolia Maggie Sayer. From this is John and Gail Sayer's pet. For how many years, John? 14 and a half years. And Jerry Lazaro's pet, forever in memory, Sophie Moran Lazaro, October 2022 to October 2017, a purebred Himalayan Blue Point Aristocat, perfect mix of catitude and beatitude. And we have Cisco Moran Lazaro, AKA Baby Boy, or the Big Boy, the Big Guy, rescued August 2008, a little black furry flurry of joy and love. Next up, we have Becky and Cam Douglas's New Jersey kitties, Squeakers and Ebony Douglas, and their PA kitty, Cleo. And that portrait was painted by Sally Bertolazzi, one of our members who passed away during COVID. And this is, I'm sorry, Preston, I had this in last year and you found out that you were not my first love. This is Fritz Weaver. Fritz was my first pet and my first love. I inherited him when my mother died in 2003. And I enjoyed his company till, sorry, until he died on November 7, 2011. He was smart and had personality plus. And Preston, if anything happens to you, I will cry like that too, okay? Even though you're my second love. Actually, I hate to tell you, you're my third love. You're holding my second love. Okay, but you try harder. Next, I think I've got it under control, folks. Pixie Hare. Gone 3 years, but forever in our hearts, from Susan and Larry Hare. Ann Rostowski. I love this, Ann. I love this picture. Here's a picture of my pet Skippy, who died several years ago. He used to say, "Pretty Skippy is a pretty bird." He was part of our family for over 15 years. And then Linda Stauffer is remembering Trilby Stauffer from 2010 to 2023, and he was 100% sweet. So I think that concludes our pet remembrances and our current pets. And now we're going to bless our pets that are here. So if you have a pet in the sanctuary, if you could bring them to the front of the room. And if you're joining us on Zoom, get ready to hold up your pet or write your pet's name in chat. And we're going to say their name after we bless them. So while you're coming up, I'm going to start saying the blessing. This is Blessing Are All Living Things. Blessed Are All Living Things by Maureen Killerin. For the blessing of animal companions, we give thanks. For the beautiful ones, those whose fur is silky and whose tails are long, whose feathers are brilliant and whose voices are splendid, we give thanks. For the frantic ones, the runts and the hungry, who run for a food bowl or a pat as though it's life's last possible gift, we give thanks. For the obnoxious ones, the heads that butt against us as we're trying to sleep, the bodies that refuse to learn discretion as they make digestive gifts, we give thanks. For those who bark and purr and growl and meow, for all those who squeak or squawk or snarl or hiss, we give thanks. For the animals unknown to us, those whose niche in life's web is fragile, whose lives are insecure, for all who care for them and wish them well, we give thanks. Blessed are the animals. Blessed are the creatures who live with us and need our care. Blessed are the mammals and the reptiles and the birds who teach us we are not alone. Blessed are all living things for whom we learn to love. Blessed are these animals. Please say your pet's name. Turn around, show them to everybody.
And we have Deuce, Mina,
Vinley,
Princess Popcorn Brew.
And all the people on Zoom, we've got Quinn on Zoom.
Uh-huh.
I love it. Okay. So all of these animals are now considered blessed from this day forward until next year when you come back and Minister Weaver will bless them again and maybe be able to get through Fritz's passing without crying like a baby. But that's okay. It's all good. Andy, can we get a picture of everybody up here? Do you mind? Folks, are you okay if we get your picture and post it on our site?
Sure.
Can we move it a little bit more? Do you mind? I'm not sure if we have a wide lens.
Stay.
Yeah.
Stay.
Good. Perfect.
Stay.
I'm going to move this out of the way. So this portion of our service is called Matters of the Heart, where we get to hear from you on anything that's weighing on your mind, anything you're thinking about, caring about, concerned about. So John, do you want to tell them any more or what?
I think in the interest of time, we'll skip the musical interlude. And
yeah.
If you're in the sanctuary, if you would just move to go to the front. And just speak into the microphone that Linda is preparing for us, and I'll have that live here in just a second. And if you're on Zoom, most of you know there's a few of us online today, just use the Zoom raise hand feature or wave your hand frantically in your video window, and I'll get you unmuted so you can share as well.
Hi everyone, Nicole Reuser. I just wanted to say I didn't get the updates in time for the slideshow because it was a little bit difficult emotionally. But this past year, my family has kind of gone their separate ways, and Nige and Gus are with mom and her boyfriend and his two little senior dogs, who Nigel especially has become a protector of the little old ladies. So they're very happy. Lizzie and Callie are with my sister and me in our new apartment. Lizzie was diagnosed with diabetes back in February, had a very rough time at the vet with diabetic ketoacidosis when she was first diagnosed, but she pulled through and she lets me stick her with a needle twice a day, probably because I give her treats right after. She's like, okay, fine. Jack, moving into an apartment, we knew we could only keep two cats if we were lucky, which we have been. So Jack, we had to rehome. I just wanted to say what Dominic said about pets living in the moment really reminded me, because we made sure, we were like, we'll be darned if we're going to give them to a shelter. My sister searched diligently for weeks for somebody to take him so he could just go home to home. He ended up with a family that already had, I think, another cat or two and some dogs. I didn't meet them, but Kimber said she was very comfortable leaving Jack there, very happy. Very sad too, but very happy that he have a happy home. He was our most sociable of our three cats. The two girls are very much one person cats. Lizzie's very attached to me, Callie's very attached to Kimber, so we kind of had to keep him. Jack could be friends with anyone. We were surprised to find out he became friends with the dog at his new house. So he's now best buddies with a dog and living his best life. And I just wanted to say, for anyone who's ever had to give up a pet before they pass, that's part of life too sometimes, and it can be very difficult, but there's lots of wonderful people out there who take in older pets and will give them the next chapter of their life, and we miss them, but they go on and are very happy. So
Linda Stauffer. My adoption request for Rufus was approved this week, and I'm going to be adopting him. So. And he's been with me since February. He was found roaming in Warwick Township, and he was a mess and homeless and covered with ticks and had parasites. And so I've nursed him through a lot of physical things, and I just can't get him adopted out. But Stray Cat Blues is the organization I've been working with, and they've been so kind and paid for his getting neutered and paid for all kinds of dental problems and things. And they're a great organization, and there's a lot of cats that need foster homes as well as forever homes. And they rescue so many cats that are injured and just homeless, and it's incredible. So I'm going to still be volunteering for them, but maybe not as a foster mom, because I'm just, but I have my Rufus now. And also I want to say about pets in hospitals. When my mom was in her later years and had congestive heart failure, she was in and out of hospitals. And the highlight of her time in there was having the therapy dog come, and it meant so much, and I thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Linda. I'm going to do one from here. The reason there's so much emotionality attached to Fritz is he was my mother's dog, and as she was dying in the hospital, she was in the hospital for a month after she had a severe fall and they found out she was riddled with cancer. I would take him every day. And that dog gained a lot of weight at that time because the nurses would come in and pet him and feed him. But it really helped her through the transition between life and death. So I can't overestimate the effect of therapy dogs and our pets. Are truly amazing creatures full of love, loyalty, and inspiration. To celebrate these majestic and incredible creatures, let's be thankful for our furry and feathered friends and help protect them. They show us why respect and kindness should be the norm and why we should never be afraid of any of the obstacles we may face. Let's take the time to appreciate their presence in our lives and the lessons they can teach us.
I take pride in my home and keep it clean, you see. That has always been a high priority. But But lately I've been feeling a lack around this place, and I think it can be only filled by a fuzzy face. I wanna have dog hair. I wanna have dog hair on the couch. I wanna find socks under the bed covered with drool from someone's mouth. I wanna have dog hair. I wanna vacuum twice a week. I wanna clean up little puddles when little Fifi springs a leak. I wanna have dog hair. Well, traveling can be a bitch, you say. Careful what you wish. I say, hey, when we go away, we'll just pack her bone and dish. What about when they get sick? Big bucks to the vet. I say she or he be our family, best care they can get. I wanna have dog hair. I wanna have dog hair in the bed, 'cause he snuggles with us each night. Our feet at his head. I wanna have dog hair. Wanna learn to brush and clip and groom. I wanna have knotty ropes and rubber hot dogs and balls in every room. I wanna have dog hair. Oh. Yip, yip, yippee! For little Rex and Skippy, I wanna brush and comb someone who needs a home.
Ryan, do you, and Corinne, do you want to extinguish the chalice? Ryan, thank you. We extinguish this chalice, but not its light, which we will take with us into the world. We're going to have announcements, and then I would urge you to stay for the postlude. It's only a couple minutes. I got this song in my head because I auditioned it for you. And I want you all to be suffering with it in your head too.